Well, this week on the show, we're listening to an album from someone who went to jail around 40 times. This person spent at one point 6 months consecutively in solitary confinement. In fact, this person completed high school at the age of 23 while still in jail. The album is titled Whitsitt Chapel, and the artist was born Jason Bradley DeFord, but he's better known as Jelly Roll. Whitsitt Chapel is the name of a church that Jelly Roll attended in his hometown of Antioch, Tennessee. This album has been really well received, and critics have said things such as, "One listen will be enough to convince you of this artist's unique perspective and original contribution to the genre." In the US in 2023, Whitsitt Chapel reached number one on the Billboard Top Rock Album Charts, number one on the Billboard Independent Album Charts, number two on the Billboard Top Country Albums Charts, and number three on the overall Billboard 200. Get this, Jelly Roll used to be a rapper, but over the last few years, he's been refocusing as a country singer. How many people have done that transition from rapper to country singer? But it has definitely been a great move. Stay tuned to find out why and what the album has to teach us about addiction. Welcome to Pink Door Culture Club, your eclectic entertainment guide with a sprinkling of amateur philosophy and theology. My name is Jeremiah Burns. This week on the show, as I mentioned at the top, we're listening to ex-rapper, now country singer, Jelly Roll and his album Whitsitt Chapel from 2023. Pink Door Culture Club is a YouTube show and also a podcast. It's released every Thursday, most weeks, Australian time. And you'll also find little pop culture proverbs published as YouTube shorts, usually on a Tuesday. If you like the show, please make sure that you like and you subscribe and you share and you comment and do all of those great things. Feel free to reach out, be in touch. I'd love to hear from you. Thanks to those of you who have actually left comments on YouTube. It's been great to see that and be able to interact with you there. Well, the first segment of Pink Door Culture Club is called Spellbound, where we think about some of the strengths, some of the great things about this album, Whitsitt Chapel. And the first thing to talk about or to mention is the vocal tone color or timbre of Jelly Roll. Jelly Roll has a great voice. His voice reminds me of Chris Stapleton. If you don't know who Chris Stapleton is, that's someone else we're going to have to do an episode about. He has got an amazing voice. So definitely go and check him out as well. He sang the national anthem at the Super Bowl, not this year, but the year before, and has done all sorts of great, great work by himself and with a group called the Steel Drivers as well. But this episode's not about Chris Stapleton. It's about Jelly Roll. And I would describe Jelly Roll's voice as really deep and gravelly. It's very powerful, very strong. He's able to move from being quite tender. So there's a few tracks on the album that, well, they're all very heartfelt, but some of them are very tender and constrained, to being very energetic, even aggressive in his sort of outpouring of emotion, I'd say. He's able to convey, you know, quite difficult emotions about himself and about other people as well. So there's a lot in there about regret and guilt and shame and worry. And that doesn't just come through in the lyrical content. It comes through in the tone color, in the timbre, in the way that he expresses himself, which is really moving, to be honest. Talking of honesty, that's the second thing I wanted to mention about this album is the honesty. like any good country singer, Jelly Roll is a storyteller. We did an episode on Taylor Swift recently, and you know, we talked about how she's a great storyteller. These are quite different stories from Taylor Swift. they're pretty raw. I mean, I mentioned at the top in the intro a bit about Jelly Roll's life, like spent a lot of time in jail, and that was as a result of drug dealing on the streets from when he was about 16 years old. So these are raw stories. There's a lot in there about, he talks about feeling more at home with the lost than the found. So being at home with the broken rather than the upstanding citizens. He talks about the experience of having to grow up with a mother who is really absent due to drug addiction, which is something he had to cope with as a kid. He talks about how a friend, or they talk in this album about how a friend or a family member can go from being the life of a part of the party, great to be around, someone who everyone wants to know because they're so wild and fun, to really dysfunctional, really sad, really on the edge of actually completely falling apart. He talks about going to church hungover. He talks about wanting to ask for help, but being too ashamed to ask for it, you know, wondering whether he can even go to church, whether he should even be there. Jelly Roll said, and here's a quote from him, he was aiming for real music for real people with real problems. He also said that he wanted to explore the themes of sin and redemption, and he definitely delivers on that in this album. A third thing to say is that this is an album. You know, albums used to be a thing, right? They would release singles in the lead up to the album, and that would generate interest and give you a feel for what the work was going to be about. And then you would go and buy the vinyl or the cassette or the CD, and you would listen to the album as a whole, a work of art with some sort of consistent aesthetic or tone or lyrical content. And the idea was that the whole was bigger than the sum of the parts. You know, there would be contrasts, there would be recurring themes that tied the album together and painted that picture. I would say Whitsitt Chapel is one of the few recent albums that I've listened to as an album. I think in the age of streaming, right, it's very easy just to listen to playlists and to singles. But I've listened to this album on repeat. And that's been quite a spontaneous thing. Like, it's really drawn me in, and I've listened from beginning to end over and over. Some of the things that tie the album together is he's got little kind of sound bites or excerpts from sermons, from church sermons. In fact, the whole album kind of starts with him heading to church, and it ends with him being hungover in a church pew. There's some similar stories being told throughout, and I've kind of touched on what they might be about. Some contrasting emotions. So there are songs of hope, there are messages of hope, but it's contrasted sometimes with a real, you know, feeling of hopelessness. So Save Me is a song of great hopelessness, for example. There is a sameness to the music and the lyrical style, but there are some differences in the tempo. So, you know, The Lost is an example of a song that's quite upbeat and there's quite a drive to it, whereas Save Me is a really heartfelt ballad, for example. I think the feeling that you get from listening to the album from beginning to the end is you get to know Jelly Roll as a person, and you get to know his world in quite a bit of detail in a way that you wouldn't just listening to a single song. I think this really works as an album, and it's one of the things that's great about it. The second segment of Pink Door Culture Club is called Rear Window. And the idea is that we kind of stop and we think a bit more deeply, we look a bit more closely at some of the themes or the ideas arising from Whitsitt Chapel. The first thing I was thinking about is the power of roots or your origin. There's a song in on this album called Behind Bars, where he talks about, like, most of my friends are behind bars. Given, you know, his background, that's not surprising. There's a song called The Lost, where he talks about how I feel more at home with the lost than the found, which I mentioned before. And then there's a song called Unlive, where the chorus talks about how you can't unlive where you're from. And I guess what it made me think about was, you know, I mean, what they're exploring there, what he's exploring there, is the things that you're exposed to early on. It just shapes so much, doesn't it, of your life. It shapes your ideas of what's normal. What is normal in terms of behavior? What is normal in terms of relationships? What's normal in terms of choices? It also shapes your emotions, the things that you know, have been exposed to early on. And it also shapes your ways of coping. I think one of the things that comes through both in the interviews with Jelly Roll, but also very strongly in this album, is that, you know, for some people, maybe for a lot of people, maybe for the vast majority, probably for the vast majority of people in the world, the idea of changing peer group or hometown, that's not it's either not something they want to do, or it's not something they can do. You know, those kind of choices are not available to everybody. It's a privilege to think, oh, well, you could just change city, for example. Like, that takes means to be able to do that. And so I think one thing that comes through in this album is that when you can't physically escape, when you can't get away from your own mother or your own family or friends or hometown, then you need to find other ways to escape. And that's where substances come into the picture, which leads on to the second thing that I was thinking about as I was listening to this album, which is the nature of addiction. The kind of idea or picture of addiction that gets painted in this album, and I think in some of the work leading up to this album as well, is a really powerful picture of addiction. You know, Jelly Roll is kind of constantly saying, basically, hey, I know this thing is wrong. I know it's doing me damage. Like, I know it's hurting me. In fact, I know from looking at other people that if I keep doing this, it will actually destroy me. Like, it will kill me. But I actually can't stop going back to it. Like, I'm trapped. He kind of paints the picture of the cycle of addiction, where it's fun. In fact, I don't know his old work as well, but it seemed like listening to some of his old songs, especially some of his old rap songs, there was a lot of celebration of that excess and seeing it as a good thing. There is a fun side to it, that wild living. It provides some kind of temporary relief, some kind of escape, but then it's followed by the pain, the shame, the regret, and then the cycle repeats. He talks about it as a form of slavery. There's a song on the album called Hold On Me, where he talks about these substances having a hold on him. He talks about them in the song as being a living hell and how he can't break free. So he's kind of having fun, but ultimately, he is really trapped, and there is a form of slavery there. His wife, Bunny, she says this: "It's not a party if it happens every night. It's an addiction." So seems like she's, you know, also had, you know, some difficulties in her life, and she understands what it is to have an addiction. So. Yeah, I thought that was a really interesting quote from her as well. So I feel in that way, like, Jelly Roll is kind of a warning. Like, if you're not yet addicted, Don't get addicted. Don't play with fire. Don't become addicted to drugs or alcohol or whatever it is. Don't go down that road, was one thing. It's not clear kind of where he's at with substances. There's sort of some articles you read where he seems to be saying, oh, I've started a new journey. Everything's all clean and fresh now. And other times he kind of says, well, I don't do that as much as I used to, but I still do go back to the drugs and alcohol in ways that I shouldn't. But I think he's also providing here like some insights that help with compassion and mercy when dealing with those who do have an addiction. If it's been part of your upbringing, if it's been part of your peer group, if it's part of your identity, you know, being an addict, using these substances in this way as part of my identity, if it's part of coping, like they talk in, there's a song where they talk about, you know, waking up and seeing an overdose, you know, even as a kid. And so there's a need to escape that. It helps you be more, I think, compassionate and merciful towards those who are addicted and understand that there might be some pretty terrible reasons why they're in that situation. Again, it might not just be a simple choice that they can snap out of. So I found myself thinking about the nature of mercy and compassion as a result. And along those lines, the third point I was thinking about, I mean, the album's called Whitsitt Chapel. Like I said, that's the name of a church that he used to go to in his hometown. I was thinking about the concept of church as a refuge. In the album, church is somewhere that you can go when there's nowhere else to go. There's nowhere else to go. It's a place you can go that might possibly help break the cycle of addiction. So there is a sense of hope associated with church. I remember listening to a podcast or reading an article where the writer of Fight Club talked about how, you know, part of why he wrote about the support groups in the movie. So if you haven't seen Fight Club, there's all these kind of support groups, is that he'd had an experience of feeling so low in his life that he didn't know what else to do. So he just went to church because, you know, he was just absolutely at a loss. He didn't, you know, become religious or anything as a result, but it's just interesting that even someone who wasn't religious saw it as a place where maybe this is somewhere I can go to find meaning and hope because I'm so lost. It made me also think about the person of Jesus himself. Like he was associating in his day and age, he was associating with all of those people who were seen as lesser or unclean or, yeah, just not worthy in some way. So he was, you know, he was hanging out with women and with children and with lepers and with prostitutes and with non-Jews and with tax collectors. And I'm not casting aspersions on any of those people except to say that at that time, those were not people that fine, upstanding citizens associated with, or they were people of, you know, lesser status. But these are the people that Jesus was hanging out with. And it was like really noticeable to the religious people. They were often like really puzzled, like, why are you hanging out with these people? These are the dirty people. These are the people you shouldn't be seen with. You know, and his response of like, well, the doctor comes to the sick, not to the well, I think is really interesting. It made me also think, how would churches respond today if someone like Jelly Roll showed up? Like he's got that colourful past that we've talked about throughout this episode. He looks like he's got that colourful past. you know, would he receive a warm welcome? Would he receive a warm welcome if he walked into a church today? Or would there be a sense of awkward judgment or just not sure what to do, not sure how to cope with this person being here? And I guess underneath that is like, to what extent are churches a place where middle class people or even upper class people gather versus, you know, and maybe reassure each other and reinforce things in each other versus a place of great refuge and hope for the lost who feel like they've got nowhere else to go. There's a book in the New Testament called James, and there's a really challenging couple of words there in it, which says, "Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in filthy old clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, 'Here's a good seat for you,' but you say to the poor man, 'You stand there,' or 'Sit on the floor by my feet,' have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts?" So I guess the question is, like, you know, if Jelly Roll came in hungover, is he being treated like this rich man who's being warmly welcomed, or like the poor man who's being kind of shunted to the side and alienated and judged? The final segment of Pink Door Culture Club is called The Man Who Knew Too Much, where we just work through some trivia or interesting facts about whatever it is we're looking at on the episode. So the first piece of trivia about Jelly Roll is that The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, is a fan. The Rock says, "Many years ago, before Jelly Roll blew up, his music helped me get through a rough patch in my life. I'll never forget it." So there you go. Jelly Roll's ministering to The Rock. Apparently, you know, he's got his phone number and they like talk to each other and they're actual friends. Number two, Jelly Roll got really popular really quickly. At the start of 2022, he was playing to crowds of around 1,000 people. And by the end of 2022, he was playing to stadiums of around 20,000 people. So he went 20x in within a year. So it's been a really meteoric rise for Jelly Roll. And thirdly, the rumor is that Jelly Roll plays golf, likes to have a go at golf. So he's definitely enjoying some commercial success and, you know, moving into the middle class if he's playing golf. he's doing okay. He's doing okay. Okay, so we're at the end of this episode of Pink Door Culture Club. Overall, I found Whitsitt Chapel a really engaging and moving album. I love Jelly Roll's voice and I love his honesty as well. He's made me think a lot about the nature of addiction and what a church should offer or might offer to the broken. As I mentioned at the top, remember that you can engage with the show as a YouTube show or as a podcast, and the goal is to release it every Thursday Australian time. You can also check out Pop Culture Proverbs, which are released as little videos on YouTube Shorts every Tuesday. However you're engaging, make sure you like and you follow and you share and you comment and all of those good things, and feel free to reach out to me via the Facebook page or the comments here on YouTube. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening.